got a couple things to get done today. It's First Sunday, and I love First Sunday because we get to share the Lord's Supper together, so I want to get to that because that's the important thing. But I do want to talk to you for just a few minutes today. Taboo is an interesting word. Anybody ever played the game Taboo? It's kind of old school at this point. I have one person, one honest person, who was like, yes, I did. It's a game. It doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven if you play a game. Everything is fine. It is okay for us to play it. It's because it's not Jesus Taboo. It's not, you know, Old Testament Taboo. Everything is fine. So if you don't know about the game, it's this game where you've got to get people to guess words without saying a bunch of words on this card. And all of those words are directly around that word. For instance, if I wanted to get you to say egg, I couldn't say chicken. I couldn't say breakfast. I couldn't say bacon. I couldn't say all these different kinds of things. So I have to somehow describe to you what an egg is without using any of the words that we would normally use. Because that word is taboo. Does that make sense? It's an interesting word, and you guys know that I do way too much research. So 1770, that's right, 1770, this word came to us from the Tongan culture. Yeah, now I'm not going to go any farther than that. If you want to know who those people are, you go get on Wikipedia. And remember, Wikipedia is right about 60% of the time, so do other research than that. It's a Tongan word that means forbidden. It's forbidden. It means you can't, and it can refer to an object, an action, or a person. An object can be forbidden, means you can't mess with that. An action can be forbidden, which means you can't do that. A person can be taboo, which means you can't associate with that person. And we don't really use that word much, except when we play the game, right? I mean, we don't. We kind of have that like awareness, and sometimes we use it wrong. Don't you be stepping on my taboo. No. That's not what that means. We all, even though we don't use that word necessarily, that term necessarily, we all have and recognize different taboos. I think you know what I'm talking about. You've ever been cut off in traffic? That's taboo, baby. We don't do that here. That's an action that you should not take. That is forbidden. Why you got it? It's one. Listen. And you have to understand I'm preaching this sermon more to myself than you are. You're just kind of here listening as I talk to myself, and that's fine. It's one thing when you have to get over quickly. That's fine. But when you have to get over quickly in front of me, you don't give me that thing that's the flasher that's telling me you're supposed to come, that's a directional, a signal, and you do it at 70 miles an hour and you almost hit me, that's not okay. That's a taboo for me. That's taboo, cutting people off, because then I have to find a way to taboo cut you off so that we're even. Mess with me, because here's the thing. I'm going to rant just really quickly. Father, forgive me. I'm going to rant really quickly. Why is it the people who cut you off then hit their brakes? Why do they just are coming past you and you can see them and they cut you off and then they... Are you trying to control my speed limit? Okay, I'm done with that. Cutting in line is taboo. You ever been at the supermarket? Let's just say Walmart, because it happens there all the time. There's something about Walmart that people feel like just have permission. You can be in a line of people and somebody will just walk up. Something happens to me in that moment. Like, I lose all my faith. Jesus is no longer my Savior. I feel I'm just like, you can't be serious here. It's one thing if it's an accident. For instance, Target, right here in Beltsville, has the new lines where you can do your own beep, beep, beep thing, right? What are those called? Self-checkout lines, right? But there's no place for a line to form. So what you have to do is, because there's that big broad space where everybody walks through, right? You have to back up and go like into the greeting card section. And you make a line up that aisle. And so sometimes you can't see that there's a line. You walk up and you just kind of like, oh, there's no line here. There's lines everywhere else, but there's no line here. So you just walk up with your two things and somebody goes, you ever had that before? Or excuse me. And you turn around and you see the 70 people that you just cut in front of. That's not what I'm talking about. That's an accident. But when people just straight cut in line, I don't know if you've ever been to like a concert or an outdoor venue where restrooms are like not in plentiful supply and you can be in line for the restroom and then somebody just rolls up. What are you trying to tell me here? I'm going to get bladder cancer because of you? No. You need to go back and wait like everybody else has. Leaving a mess for somebody else to clean up, that is taboo. I learned that quick from my mother. Quick. Now there's this, you know, you go through this age bracket where you cut them some slack. I have a 2.5-year-old. My 2.5-year-old has the attention span of a gnat, much like his father. So sometimes he comes over here and he makes a mess and then he runs to do a different thing and I have to say, Hudson, come back and clean it up. Or sometimes I'll say, Hudson, did you clean it up? And he'll say, yeah, and he's absolutely lying, bald-faced lie. but he can't remember even what I'm talking about. Leaving a mess for somebody to clean up. Miss Falucky, I'm going to call him out. I'm going to call Kunle out. Kunle Sonnerigan, when he was younger, when we started doing this breakfast thing, on more than one occasion, and also at camp, I watched Kunle try to handle a jug of liquid that was too big for him. And you know what happens with younger kids. This is when he was little, so just don't go beat him. Everything is fine. This is when he was little boy. You ever seen a kid walk up to a 2-liter and grab the bottom? You know what's going to happen. You know it. It's fluid dynamics, people. As soon as he tilts it enough, the weight of that fluid is just going to take that thing out of his. And I watched Kool-Aid dump stuff all over, look around, put that thing down, take his cup. And then he would like walk off to the side and like drink it and watch to see. I watched him do that twice at church and twice at camp. And so finally I was like, Kool-Aid. He was like, I'm sorry, Pastor Ben. And he went over, but he would wait to see if Miss Falucky was going to show up out of thin air and clean up his mess. Leaving a mess for somebody else to clean up. Maybe swearing is taboo. I know it doesn't seem like it is in our culture, but have you ever like not been expecting it and it just comes out of nowhere? Like out of somebody's mouth, or you're watching a TV program that you think is family friendly or safe, and then a just cuss word comes out? I don't know what happens to you, but like I break out in a sweat. I don't know what that is, like a hot flash. Ladies, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to appropriate that. I don't know what that really is. But like I'll be sitting there and I'll just cuss word will come out of nowhere and I literally like, it's like I jerk. I'm like, what in the world happened there? Taking the Lord's name in vain. That's exactly how I feel. When I hear that, I just feel like I feel a little nauseous. You know what I mean? Like there's something about that for me, and I know we hear it all over the place, and people don't have respect for that name, and I get that. And so you can't, it's not for us to judge those folks. Folks who don't have this relationship are not held to the same standard that we are. But it still freaks me out when I hear it. Sometimes, it happens in a movie. You're just watching a movie, and you think, okay, this is PG, I'm risking it. And everything seems to be fine, right? And then all of a sudden there's a GD, and my head just kind of snaps back like, I need to go wash or something. Getting in the cash line with a credit card or getting in the credit line with cash, what are you doing? And knowing it, you know it because they have said several times, credit only, cash only, and you just kind of like keep your head down and get it because you waited in line like everybody else and you get all the way, I only have a card, is that okay? No, it's not okay. Get out of line with your 75 things. You're going to have to go back and get around at the other. This is my last one. You ready? And this has happened to me only one time, and I really thought I was going to go to jail. Taking a spot in a parking lot that someone else is waiting on. Lee First and I are in sync. There is something unholy and unforgivable about that. Christ's blood does not cover that sin, my friend. I'm sorry, you're going to have to go somewhere else to some other church and find some absolution. That is it. You just can't, that doesn't. It's only happened to me one time, and I literally thought, this is why people murder. You don't have to be crazy. You don't have to have like some kind of pathology. This right here is why people murder, because you drive around that parking lot for forever, and you know you stalk those people. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You see them coming from the door, and you're like, where are they going? In any other like context, that would be terrifying, and you should be arrested. But somehow, at Target or Walmart, that's okay. Like, where are they going? And you think you've got them, right? And then they walk through the line of cars, and you're like, oh, come on! You try to, you try not to, like, peel out, but you're like, and you try to get over there, and somebody's already waiting. Taking someone else's car spot where they're, man, that's just taboo. There are things that we recognize in our lives that we maybe don't even talk about, maybe nobody's really even taught us, that just become this forbidden thing that you just don't do. Now, depending on your culture, there are other things that you know specifically. Our religious culture creates very specific taboos, right? When you come to know the Lord Jesus, if there are things that you are involved in your lives, those are things that you no longer want to be associated with, you no longer want to be involved in. If you have a proclivity for anything that does not fall into line with what we believe to be scriptural, the idea is this. You let that go because it's not part of who you are anymore. Doesn't make it easy. I listened. I smoked for a long time, and stopping smoking was a supernatural thing. God did a supernatural work for me. I got sick and sick and sick and sick, and there was no sense. And finally, the doctor looked at me and goes, I don't know what you're doing, but stop. Nobody has ever come to me with 5 sinus infections in 3 months before. That was me. I said to the Lord, I said, and this was when I was living apart from his will. I was like, God, just, I can't stop smoking. I'm down to 5 cigarettes a day. Just make me sick. And he did. I got a raging sinus infection. And when you have a sinus infection, you can't smoke. It takes about a week before every time you breathe in, it feels like there's razor blades. Your main, product is sinus fluid. It's bad. That's the one thing you're producing. And so it takes about a week. And then after that, I just went right back to it and I got sick again. And finally, the doctor looked at me and was like, you got to stop doing whatever you're doing. And I was finally able to let that go. But that was when I was apart from the Lord. Our culture, our religious culture, creates some taboo stuff. In the Old Testament, there were a lot of religious taboos around food, which breaks my heart. I don't want to have to jump over any hurdles or walk through any doors. If it's there, I just want to put it in my face. And I don't want there to be any like series of steps that I need to take before it can go from wherever it is to in me. I just don't want to have to do that. But there were a lot of religious taboos surrounding food. And they were directly connected to observing Torah law. Now what's interesting is when you look at Jewish history, there were a lot of things that God said through Aaron, through Moses, you know how that worked, through Aaron first and then through Moses and then through Aaron to the people, that had specifically to do with the different types and kinds of food they couldn't eat and why they couldn't eat those things, and there were ceremonial things that they had to do, and some of that made sense. But then Jesus came and he fulfilled everything. He fulfilled all the law, and he fulfilled all the words that the prophets said. You know, all the prophets said Messiah is coming, and Jesus said that would be me. And so you don't have to keep looking anymore. The salvation for the world is here. That was really hard for their culture. That was really hard for the Jewish culture to contain that. They really just didn't see him as the guy he said he was. And so they wanted to stick to the stuff that they had been teaching and preaching and living for thousands of years. And then the gospel went outside their people. Salvation went outside the Jews. And suddenly it wasn't just for the Jewish people. Now it was for everybody else too. And so the Jews were like, whoa, 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 whoa. If you want to be a part of this new way, and these were even the Christianized Jews, the Messianic Jews, they were saying, whoa, 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 there's some rules here. You can't just come in and be like, here I am, I'm a Christian, with your pork rinds and your beer. That's not going to work. That's not how we do things here. And so they tried to bring those Old Testament taboos around food and around eating and around cleanliness into the New Testament church. They were determined to control that because to them, control was everything. Let me be clear. It wasn't about relationship for them. It was about ruling. It wasn't about freedom. It was about forcing people into a very narrow space to fit, to match. That's how they lived their lives. Not all of them. I'm not trying to say that all the Pharisees and all the Sadducees were bad folks. We know that from biblical history, they weren't. But there was this mindset of, in order to be right, you got to do right. And if you don't do right, you can't be right. So the Apostle Paul, as we know, just continued to preach and preach and preach. He just continued to preach about freedom. He just kept talking about how we are free. We are free. We are free. You have to realize that Jesus came and all of these different ordinances which were important for a time no longer have the power that they had because Jesus came and set us free. You have to understand, Paul would say, all the stuff in the law just drove us to sin. We didn't know what sin was till we had the law, and then as soon as we had the law, we made sure we weren't lawful. But Jesus came to set us free from the guilt and from the shame. He set us free. And so the church over time began to experience this weird shift. Now you got some folks who are all about the taboos. Without the taboos, I don't know who I am. The taboos, have created my identity. I'm going to be taboo until I die, right? Ride or die for taboos. That's just who I am. And then there were some people who were kind of caught in the middle. You ever tried to stop a habit pattern that's a bad habit pattern? That's tough. It is hard to break a bad habit. Even if it's not a bad habit, if you see a habit pattern in your life that is not conducive to who you want to be, it's something you want to change, do you know what I mean? It's hard to break that. Even if it's not, a bad one, it's hard to break that habit pattern. So you got some people in the middle who are like, I have to remember that I don't have to wash every day, that when my wife has her issue, I don't have to put her outside 40 feet from the house in a tent and feed her with a stick. I'm not kidding. That's real. When women had that issue, they had to go live apart from the rest of the family, and their dishes were put on a tray, and that tray was pushed out with a stick because anybody who was around her when she was having her time was considered ceremonially unclean. Those were some hard habits to break, folks. So you had people who were in the middle of that. And then you had other people who were able to just really stretch and grow in that freedom and be like, thank God that my daily life is no longer determined by 613 statutes, all of which I have to try to keep every day. I don't have to hit the mikveh every time I look at something sideways. I don't have to go to the high priest every time something is wrong. I can go straight to God. There was some tough stuff going on. So it was an interesting shift that began to happen. It went from all law and all taboo to suddenly there were people who were like, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care who it bothers. I'm going to eat bacon, and I'm going to eat it in the synagogue, on the altar. What you going to do? Okay, that's not in the Bible. I'm being hyperbolic, totally hyperbolic. But there was this idea that I'm going to do me, and if my doing me causes you a problem, that's your problem, not mine, because I'm free. So there began to be this switch from being free to worship, having the freedom to worshiping freedom. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. Me and Jesus are right. I don't have to wash my hands. I don't have to bathe in that stone thing. I don't have to prostrate and genuflect and do all those other things. I don't have to take these animals three times a day, twice a year, to be killed and get spattered with blood and do that whole, I don't have to do that anymore. These things don't hold me anymore. So I can do whatever I want. And if you're going to do those things, that's fine. But if I'm not going to do them, you have no right to judge me because I'm free. And that freedom began to be a snare for some people. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to try to finish up quick today because I want to get ready to have communion together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I know that this is a lot of verses. I'm going to try to read slow. I'll make a couple of comments, and then we'll get ready to have the Lord's Supper together. I'm reading out of the New International. Nope, no, I'm not. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Sorry. I'm doing New International for Tuesday Night Bible Studies. I'm doing New American Standard for us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23. And I'm going to, that says 31, but I'm going to read all the way through 33. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it. For the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience' sake. I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Paul is speaking into a challenge that threatens, and we don't see it because we only have the one dimension of this printed scripture. We don't see what's happening in the context. This is about to split the church. What's happening is what has always happened. The church is full of people, and people think differently. And when one group of people thinks different than another group of people, those two people have a problem. And those two people have a problem, those two groups, they think, we just can't be together anymore. Wouldn't it be terrible if in the body of Christ, one part of the body was just like, I can't be with you anymore, and bailed? Can you imagine that if that happened in your physical body? What if one shoulder was like, I'm done, and just ripped itself off? What if one of your eyeballs was like, we're not seeing eye to eye, and left? You think your big toe's not important? What if your big toe just struck off on its own? I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Good luck with that. What was happening was there was so much division over the old taboos. Paul is preaching freedom. But the old taboos hold so much power, because don't we all just want a checklist to be right? Come on. Don't you want to be able to wake up every morning and to know that you are right with God and in His favor and in His blessing? Don't you want there to be 10 or 20 things? Wouldn't that be a little bit interesting for you? Wouldn't that be a little seductive? If you just knew you could wake up and do these 10 things in the 24 hours that you've got, and you would be 100% right with God, no doubt, it would be hard to go, nah, I'm free of that. There's a division in the church, and it's going to split them. And Paul is saying, listen, we have got to find this middle ground where it's not all about the rules, but certainly you cannot shove your bacon in someone else's face. He says specifically here, let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. That means that I have to assume that the person who took my spot at Target needed that spot more than I did. And not only am I not going to just park right up against that man's bumper and get out and go into Target and probably get a ticket, but that's okay because he can't go anywhere until I move. Not that I've ever done that. Not that I've ever done that when I was much younger and I didn't get a ticket. Not that I've ever done that. Nor have I ever parked right up against someone's driver door when they put their wheels over the line. Taboo, taboo, taboo. It's big enough for your car to fit. They measure it. The people who make the stripes, they measure it. Why are you over here? And I'm just going to put my passenger side door right against yours. So you're not going to be able to bash my door because you can't even get in yours. And I'll be back after I finish my grocery shopping. I'm so far off topic. Here's what I'm saying to you. Here's what I'm saying. If we are not careful, our freedom to worship God with everything that we do. Did you hear what he said? Whether you eat or you drink and whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do it in his name. If we are not careful, that freedom to worship God with everything that we do and every way that we conduct ourselves and every way that we interact with people, which is an opportunity. We are free of all of these old taboos. They don't count for us anymore. Jesus said, love God and love people. That's it. That's the structure, baby. That's it. Love God and love people with everything that you've got. If we are not careful, then our freedom begins to become the thing that we worship. And here's why he's talking about worship, and I'm going to leave this for homework for you. In the section right before this, Paul is talking about idolatry. He's talking to the new church about idolatry. Go home and read that because it flows right in. Paul talks about how we don't idolize things, we don't idolize taboos, we don't idolize certain food practices, we don't take food that pagans have whatever, and then he goes right into, and oh, by the way, we don't idolize our freedom either. In all that we are and all that we do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is our freedom. We're not seeing it very much in our culture right now, are we? We're not seeing it very much in our nation right now, are we? And what breaks my heart is a lot of what we are seeing, a lot of the vitriol and a lot of the poison is coming from our culture. That's not who we are, folks. That's not who we are. We love and we accept and we don't judge. And we give and we hope and we pray. We have the freedom to bring glory to God in everything that we do, but we do not worship that freedom. We worship God.